Hey, good morning, church. I don't know about you. It was a little difficult getting up this morning knowing it was going to be so cold and had to shovel. And I'm a Packers fan, so there's that. So with that in mind, it is a joy to be here. It was something to look forward to. And it's a privilege to bring the message to you today. So special hello to everybody online who's listening to this later and maybe have had more time to recover from the Packers' loss. It's really great to see your masked faces. For those of you who don't know me, Pastor Skeena kind of introduced me. I'm Jamie Betcher. I'm a member of this church, a lay speaker. Lay just means non-clergy, so there's nothing special about that. That just means I'm here to bring the love of God to you today, I hope. I'm going to start in a sort of a risky manner this morning, and I want everybody online to join in this. So if you're eating dinner or washing dishes or whatever, to stop for a moment, and I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes if they're comfortable. I know that's risky in a church. Maybe just put your head down, and we're going to just do a little visual experience for a moment. Take a deep breath. What I'd like you to do is imagine a place. A real place that you've been in from your past or maybe in your present, but a place where when you go there, when you enter into it, you immediately feel welcomed. You feel like you belong there. You feel at peace. You feel completely loved. Just take a moment to breathe that in, to soak in that feeling of being loved and welcomed, of being belonged. All right, you can open your eyes. You feel that wave of contentment in the room? We all went to a place that feels loved. Now, this place that you went to, when that came to mind, I'm guessing there was something about that place that made you feel love, and it wasn't really the building or the place itself, but there were people there. There were people there that made you feel loved. Is that right? Is that what it was? There were people there. So the place that I envision when I do that exercise is my grandma's house. I spent a lot of time in my childhood there up until I was 21, is when she passed away. And that house doesn't stand anymore, but I can close my eyes and picture every detail about it. The funny wallpaper, right, and the banana bread baking in the oven, I can smell that. And most importantly, I can still feel her love when I close my eyes and think about that place. Whenever I walked in, she greeted me with a warm hug and a smile, and she dropped whatever she was doing so that she could greet me. Her little Mamie Cocoa Bean is what she called me. Mamie Cocoa Bean. And I belonged there. I was accepted. And it didn't matter if I had just gotten straight A's on my tests or if I was the star on my volleyball team. It didn't matter about anything that was going on in my home. She just embraced all of who I was. I never felt unworthy when I was with Grandma. And I hope that place that you just envisioned is a place that you feel that too. And for some of you, I know it might have been your childhood home, but it might have been a grandma's house or a babysitter's house, or maybe it was a sports team or a club you've been on or Sunday school. All of us have a different place that we can experience that love. And some of you might have even pictured a church from your past or this church here, Crosswinds. So we're in this series here at Crosswinds called Love Never Ends. And last week we heard from Bill, who talked a little bit more about loving our neighbors. I'm going to bring us back to our homes, loving love that we find at home. And today's message that I titled Love Found at Home, the word home can really stir up some pretty mixed feelings for each of us, depending on the experiences we've had in the houses that we've lived in. So when I am talking in today's message about home, anytime I say the word home, I want you to think of that place that you just envisioned. Okay, that's the home I'm talking about. Not a house you've lived in, but a place where you've experienced being welcomed, belonging, and being loved. That's the home we're going to talk about in our scripture lesson today. So speaking of that scripture story that we just heard from Roger and Tiffany, I'm guessing a lot of you have heard that story lots of times. Maybe it's even one of your favorites from the Bible. And many translations of the Bible call this story as the parable of the lost son. Some of it call it the parable of the prodigal son. Some scholars call attention that the story is really about two lost sons. We really only focused on the one that heard the first part of the story today, but there are two sons in this story, both of whom are lost in different ways. But yet other people believe that a better title for this Bible story is the loving father. That's what the story really is about. It isn't about the lost son, it's about the loving father. So when I reread the story, my own title kind of came to mind, and that was the title of this message today. It's really about a love found at home. So in the story, we heard about this younger son who treated his father poorly. He ran away, right, took his inheritance, squandered all that money. He began to long for home, became hungry in his belly and in his soul and his heart. He longed for that place where he was fed, where he felt like he belonged. So he left that place where he had gone to and headed back to his father's house with this predetermined kind of script in his mind that he was going to convince his father to take him back. Like he was already that he was going to have to convince him to take him back. And then we get to verse 20 from that scripture, and that's my favorite verse. And it goes again like this. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And that first calls attention to the fact that the father must have been waiting and watching because he saw him from a long way off. He was waiting and watching for his son to come home. And it provides a unique visual of an older man running, and which would have been considered very undignified to those who were listening to Jesus speak, to have an older man running like that. That would have been a surprise to the listeners. Maybe it's a surprise to us today too, but definitely in the context of the story. But the father's compassion and his love for his son took precedence over dignity. His act of running is really a depiction of God's grace. That generous, free, just unabandoned, unexpected, and undeserved love ran at him. When I was reading this scripture, I was reminded of Psalm 103, which is a nice, kind of shorter psalm in the Bible. I'm just going to read a couple of verses in the middle there, 8 through 13, from the Common English Bible. But I want you to just picture that father running towards his son in that story as you hear these words from Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, very patient and full of faithful love. God won't always play the judge. He won't be angry forever. He doesn't deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our wrongdoing. Because as high as heaven is above the earth, that's how large God's faithful love is for those who honor him. As far as east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sin from us. Like a parent feels compassion for their children, that's how the Lord feels compassion for those who honor him. Isn't that a beautiful depiction? Psalm 103. Take note of that. Maybe you want to read that again later. But when I read these verses, you know, this imagery that kind of comes up in my mind really sums up the experience every time I went to my grandma's house. If I read Psalm 103, that's my experience at grandma's house. It's that love found at home that we all long for. The thing I love about my grandma and the experience was that she made everybody, all of her grandkids, feel like they were her favorite. And it wasn't until years after she passed away that I was actually hanging out with siblings and cousins. And we kind of each admitted, like, we'd been afraid to say it, but like, you know, I was her favorite. And then we all started laughing, like, no. We had like a fight over who was her favorite. That's how you know she loved everybody so unconditionally. But this story isn't really about a specific relationship, right? The story is a depiction of a father running towards a son. But the story is about the love that's between them. So let's not get caught up in the specific relationship, but the love that's shared in this relationship. It's the type of love that God has for his children. Really, for each of you, for me. These moments, these glimpses of this love that we get to experience with each other, with these special people in our lives, they stir up this hope of heaven, this hope of returning to the everlasting home that we've been made for. Now, when I step back and look at the entire chapter of Luke 15, so we've just pulled one piece out of there, but this hope grows even stronger if you read the whole chapter of Luke. The chapter begins with tax collectors and sinners gathering around to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees, right, who were the religious leaders, responding to this scene with just disgust. And they commented that this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And then Jesus goes on to tell the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son, or the loving father. And the pinnacle in this last story in today's scripture is that we hear about a father who welcomes sinners and eats with them. He welcomed his son back and prepared a feast for them. What the Pharisees saw as an insult about Jesus eating with sinners, right, we treasure as a blessing. This man welcomes sinners. Put another way, he welcomes us as we are, not as who we once were or who we were supposed to be or who we might become. He welcomes us as we are, just as we are. We are beloved sinners. We are cherished, wayward children of a loving God. And God's love can defeat even the deliberate rebellion of the heart. Now, this parable of the lost son is only found in the Gospel of Luke. It's not in Matthew, Mark, or John. And Luke was a Gentile and has the unique distinction of being the only New Testament writer who wasn't a Jew. And Luke's entire gospel, in particular today's parable, highlights this for us, that Jesus Christ is for all people. He is the friend of outcasts and sinners. Luke reminds us and tells us and uses these stories to tell us there are no limits to the love of God. We can take even another step back and look in the whole Bible. We can look at stories from the Old Testament to understand this longing that we have for home and for the unconditional love that we find in Jesus. So ever since people were exiled from the Garden of Eden, we've longed to return to a place where we feel safe and accepted and loved. To return home. The Israelite people like roamed in the desert for 40 years looking for a place to call home. It's in our DNA that we have this longing for home. As I was preparing for today's message, I was reminded of a book that we read a couple years ago, at least some of us did here in church. We did a small group study on a book called The Prodigal God by Timothy Keller. And I still had that book and pulled it out and reread parts of it. It was refreshing to reread. But Timothy Keller, this book, it's a small book that's just on this parable, but he calls his story The Prodigal God rather than The Prodigal Son. Because if you look up the word prodigal, one of the definitions, or most people just think of prodigal as being reckless or wasteful. But to be prodigal, when you look at it, is to be kind of recklessly extravagant. So Timothy Keller takes the approach on this scripture story that it's the God, it's Father. It's the Father who's recklessly extravagant in the story. He's recklessly extravagant with his love and his grace and his forgiveness. So it's God who's the prodigal and not the Son. But in Timothy Keller's book, he writes this. Home is a powerful but elusive concept. The strong feelings that surround it reveal some deep longing in us for a place that absolutely fits and suits us, where we can be our true selves. Yet it seems that no real place or actual family ever fully satisfies these yearnings, though many situations arouse them. I kind of get that sense of, you know, especially during COVID, as we've been away from people that we truly love, and then we get together, it's really exciting, but there's always just this tiny little bit of disappointment sometimes that it didn't fully satisfy us the way we wanted. And I think that's what Timothy Keller's kind of getting to, like, we have these experiences in life, and they can kind of satisfy some of these yearnings, they can arouse them for sure, but they don't fully satisfy us, because something better is yet to come. This talk about a love found at home just reminds me of so many sayings and phrases and songs and stories about this yearning for home. And I picked this scripture message well before Christmas, knew that it was going to be doing this message. And of course, all throughout the Christmas season, I kept hearing one song over and over again. Do you know what it is? There's no place like home for the holidays. There's all sorts of, right? For me, again, think of home as that place that you envisioned at the beginning of my sermon, because people can hear that song and get bitter about it. Like, that's not my home. But if you think about that home, I think about going home to my grandma's house for Christmas. There is no place like going home for Christmas. And then, of course, the Wizard of Oz movie was on, right? We got Dorothy clicking her ruby red slippers together, saying, "There's no place like home." And for Dorothy, her home, again, was with Auntie Em, right? She had a different type of home environment, but there was no place like home for her. And then, maybe some of you can relate more to a quote from a more recent movie, and I happened to see this over Christmas as well, so it stuck with me. It was from the Marvel series. It was Thor Ragnarok, if you haven't seen that movie. But in this movie, Thor's home planet of Asgard is about to be destroyed. And all the residents of the planet are on some ships and are getting evacuated safely, but the planet is going to be destroyed. And Thor has a friend on the ship with him who reminds him that Asgard is not a place, it's a people. And that's what that really struck me. I'm like, home isn't a place, it's a people. So we use this phrase of home, but it's really about people. And while we're kind of experiencing this life on earth that has its pains and its tears and its joys and its sorrows, the people for home for now are those special ones in our lives that really make us feel loved, that really give us glimpses of that unconditional love that God has for us. But the true experience of home is in the person of Jesus Christ. And we're never essentially our true selves until we come home to God. I love that Jesus reassured his disciples before he departed with some words. I'm going to read here from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. These might be familiar to you, but Jesus said these words to his disciples. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." So our Father has this house, and Jesus is the one who's going to make it a home for us, because Jesus is going to be there. He returned to heaven to make God's house our home. It's his presence and our relationship with him that's going to make it the home that we long for. So heaven's not only the place to which we are going, but also the place for which we belong. Now, my relationship with my grandma, that house was my home. And she passed away when I was 21, right when I was in the middle of college. And I floundered for a while. And in a way, I would say I became like the lost son. It wasn't so much that I rebelled and ran away. It was just that I had lost what was my home, and I was lost. The person who kind of embodied that unconditional love that I had been getting, you know, from my grandma, that her living presence was gone. And so it was a few years later that God led me to a man who became my husband, Troy, and to his family, who gave me some of this unconditional love that I was so longing for. And then a few years later, God brought me here to this community. And again, I found a place where I feel belong and accepted. This faith community has been a place of great belonging and acceptance. And then most importantly, a few years later, God led me to his son, Jesus, who I now know as my personal savior and my friend. And through my relationship with him, I've experienced and I've witnessed and I've delighted in the everlasting and unchanging love of a recklessly extravagant Father. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for those places and really those people who love us well, who show us glimpses of your unconditional love. Help us, God, to be the people who are welcoming and inviting and offering abundant love and compassion and acceptance to people, to others in our lives. In all situations, whether we are the welcomed or the welcomers, God, bless our embraces with one another so that they stir up the hope of heaven and remind us of the love found at home with you. Amen.